باشد تصنفه بفرد این که دلیدی ممس کولیکس فدهی ویلکم وی هف ای جوین میتینگ بدهی تو لوک ایت ایم پروژت Since it's a joint meeting, I should not assume that everybody knows who I am. Maybe let me first introduce myself. I'm Mamuluko Kensan Kugai, given the responsibility to chair telecommunications and postal services. We'll do a bit of introductions after I've just read out the apologies that I've got in front of me. From the communications portfolio, I've got an apology of Honorable Madisha, who's off sick, Honorable Ndlozi, on study leave, Deputy Minister Ndabeni Abrams, off sick. From telecoms, you note that Honorable Killian has been booked on sick leave for some time, so we will read it each day as we start, so that we get it on record. I do not have any other apology in front of me. Those are the apologies. I do have request for a departure from Honorable Kekabase in case, but I think by 11 would not be done. She has requested to be excused by 11 or 12. That's the request of Edith Kekabase. And Minister requested as well early departure around 10:30. Those are the early requests, early departure requests, and the apologies that I've got. Maybe let me just, before we start the meeting, allow the chair to greet the meeting. Coach to greet the meeting.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Amtima Tadwan, communications director.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to request members of two portfolio committees as well to introduce themselves, and then the delegations will introduce themselves as the presentation and discussions are happening. Shall I start? Not much of it.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mandy Sapkin from Machoba. I'm present in this committee. Communication and Women in President.
Thank you, Chair. Morning. My name is Abuzola Ndongeni. I'm serving in Communication and Telecommunication and COFTA. Thank you.
Morning, colleagues. My name is Mastiri. I'm a member of the Public Committee on Communication.
Morning, Lerumo Galago. Communications.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ndadimem Frida, Communications.
Morning. My name is Yoga Kitabate, Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Good morning. I'm Mary Anderson, Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Morning, I'm Veronica van Dijk. I'm part of the Communications Committee.
I'm in Karen Kedzi, Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Just apologize, I said there was no board person on the front. The FPB board person is here, my apologies, Watcher. One apology, I forgot, honorable Maseko on Science and Technology. Portfolio Committee. She's currently the acting chair on that committee. We'll start. I'll allow Minister Tuele.
The Deputy Minister, she's representing us in the AU meeting in Mali. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Minister. I'm going to allow for Minister to lead, Minister Mutambi to lead. Opening remarks, and then immediately we'll request the DG to give the presentation. How are we going to deal with the members? You have received your presentation circulated to. I think up front, apologies for the late circulation. It has been quite, I'm not so sure it's the same for communication. For us, it has been quite a hectic week. We've had meetings like this one. 3 days. So we apologize for getting the presentation late. We'll take that presentation led by the DG, acting DG of communications, and then afterwards we'll definitely engage with the entities because they are all role players in the cycle. Shall I give over to you, Minister?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Good morning, colleagues. Special greetings to my former colleague, Honorable Sheep. So good to see you today. And yes, my colleague, the Minister of Telecommunications, is here. In our midst, we've got the two acting director general for the two departments, GTDS and the communications. They are CEOs of the entities that are responsible for this program. I've seen the CEO of Post Office, the CEO of Centec, the CEO of USASA. Yeah, they are all here. And then the team, the digital team from the department. Chairperson, thank you so much for the opportunity that you granted us to present the progress of this project. I will start from where the presidential program was gazetted on 2 December, 2014, wherein the president gave the Department of Communication the responsibility to accelerate the implementation of this project. I must indicate that the DTP project was handed over from the then Department of Communication, DTPS, to our department on the 31st of January 2015. And then I must say that this project is a flagship project for the ministry and the Department of Communication. And then to demonstrate that in this regard, I want to give you the progress that we've done in between March 2015 and up to date. I think we have achieved a lot of milestones. Amongst other, it includes the gazetting of the Cabinet Approved Broadcasting Digital Migration Policy 2015, which enabled the provision of the set-top boxes and accessories to 5 million indigent TV television owning households. We also commenced with the phased-in approach of set-top boxes. Registrations have happened in the 4 provinces, namely the Northern Cape in the square kilometer array area, and the neighboring towns, the Free State, Mpumalanga and Limpopo. And then also we have announced the dual elimination commencement period that was the 1st of February 2016, which Cabinet approved in December 2015. And then we have also conducted bilateral engagements with our SADC neighboring countries and signed agreements to eliminate possible issues of TV broadcast frequency interference post the ceasing of the analog protection deadline of 17 June 2015. We did this guided by the SADC Protocol on Transport, Communication and Meteorology signed in 1996 by former President Nelson Mandela. Articles 22 and 23 of the SADC protocol provides for member states to expand and deepen their cooperation and harmonization in the areas of infrastructure and services. Since the commencement of the rollout process in December, the SADC has made 4 tunnels available on the TPT platform and all radio stations available, with ETV also having made 6 tunnels available. As of the 31st of August 2016, the overall installation target of 90.7% was recorded in the SKA towns, namely Carnarvon 91.9%, Brantford 90.3%, Williston 85.2%, and Van Eyck 96.8%, both there in the Northern Cape. As an assurance, a project management office conducted 2 more switch-offs of high-power analog transmitters in Carnarvon on the 23rd and the 24th of June 2016. A second mock-off switch-off was successfully carried out on the low-power transformers on Thursday and Friday, the 7th and 8th of July 2016. Only 1 additional customer was registered during the period of the switch-off, showing a strong indication that all our roads in the area, the SA area, have been successfully migrated from digital to from analog to digital. Also, an analog transmitter switch of public events is being planned by the department. In terms of the policy, the switch on and the switch off date of the digital and analog broadcasting digital terrestrial television signal will respectively be determined by the ministry in consultation with cabinet. But honourable members, I must also raise the issue of challenges and solutions with regard to inadequate funds. And the DC project is being rolled out despite these challenges, which to us are minor. As we announced during the department's budget vote in May, we were hoping to complete the Northern Cape SK area on or before the 2016 deadline, which has subsequently not materialized, although we are close to achieving this. Other challenges relate to lack of funding for the public awareness campaign, lack of funding for dual illumination, and adequate funding for the contact center. On the post office, there are also risk issues which we are awaiting National Treasury regarding the additional funding the entity requires. So these are the measures that I feel we need to do. And as we are sitting today here, there is a Mincom budget committee that sitting of which we will make submission when it comes to issues of funding. The other issues, I will allow the DG to make a presentation because they are all here, the technical aspects of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
That's over to you, DG. Meanwhile, I think DG is getting settled. Shall we get the introductions from the team minister meeting? Quite a number of people so that we are clear by the time we know who's here with us. I'll start with the two acting DG for the communication, acting DG for telecoms.
Good morning, Honorable Chairs and Honorable Members, Honorable Ministers. I'm Norman Mujere, the acting DG of the Ministry of Communications. With me, with the team from the PMO, Wanda Gangamanga, sitting right at the back, Dr. Mpuri, from the DDT PMO sitting at the back, and also Tavo Fatso, Caribbean Director of Legal Services in the department. I hand over to you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, coaches. Good morning, ministers, deputy ministers. Good morning, members of the committees. My name is Sipho Johannes Mdwaga. I'm the acting DG of telecommunications. With me here is Omega Shelembe, who is the chief director in the SOE portfolio of the department. I've got also Sia Koza. He's the DGM. And I've got Sia Koza, the Vugani Mtimbo Shalwa, the parliamentary officer of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. My apologies.
Should we get the entities let's start with SAPO?
Good morning, chairs and members. I'm Mark Barnes. I'm the CEO of the Post Office, and I have three colleagues here with me, Twix, Fiat, and Anton, and the chairman will be here shortly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
My apologies. My name is Timo Shala, Chair of SAPO.
The other colleagues in SAPO?
I'm Hans Pompion, the branch manager for DDT on the post office side.
Shall we move? Okay, one person in SAPO. The mic must be on for the other person.
Good morning, my name is Fiat Bethai, and I'm with the post office.
Twix Triple, corporate executive, corporate affairs, Southern Post Office.
Thank you, Tim. So then we'll have Centec.
Good morning, Mr. President and ministers. My name is Mlamli Paul, the CEO of Centec. And with me is a colleague, Moen Zeleni. Thank you.
You, Centec. Yusata?
Good morning, Chairperson. Chairperson, the Honorable Ministers and the members of the Portfolio Committee.
ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lungelwa Shandu. I am the member of the board of USASA, and I have been mandated by the chairperson of USASA to represent USASA. With me is the CEO, Mr. Lungo Mthinte, and I also have Mahoso, who is the executive manager operations. I also have the acting financial officer, chief financial officer, Mr. Mahobo Sepiri, and the project manager, Eugene. Thank you. Let's get FPB to introduce by the board chair.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Thoko Mpumlwana, the chairperson of FPB. With me is Dr. Skipper, recently given her doctorate. I'm saying doctorate. Skipper. And then we have our CEO, Themba Wakase. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I take those are the entities that are here. There means any entity, either of course, I'd park here. Let's get to the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll be doing presentation on behalf of the DTT team, meaning that from the DOC, SAPO, who is implementing agency, USASA, again an implementing agency, and also CENTEC, implementing agency. So the presentation reflects the work that we do as a DTT program office. I must say, Chess, the project is quite an involving project and also quite a complex project. It's a project that started many years ago, more than 15 years ago. But we've been able to put our heads together as a team so that we can get the project to be where it is today. I must also say, Chair, that we are grateful for the team that we have that is really working hard to ensure that we're able to migrate the services within the shortest possible time, as it were. My presentation will touch on the broadcasting digitalization ecosystem. I'm also going to give a bit of background and provide the progress update in all of those areas, and also look at the project contribution to the 9-point plan that announced by the President, and also touches on the potential challenges, and then I'll conclude. This slide tries to capture the ecosystem in terms of what are the various things that we need to, activities we need to do to ensure that we migrate to digital services. At the top is the policy process that is led by the Department of Communications. Safe to say that this process, the policy is there. Then secondly is the role of ICASA in ensuring that there's a regulatory framework that also the policies that are issued by the minister. I must say the regulatory framework is there and has been approved and published. The regulations are there because the policy itself was issued in terms of policy directive to ICASA in terms of Section 3 2 of ECA. The third player in the space is around the standards. The policy itself talks to the adoption of various standards which we are going to use to ensure that there is services available. Then the role of the South African Bureau of Standards, they have got the primary responsibility. I will touch on those standards later when I do the presentation and the expansion in terms of what do they mean. Then the other player, CENTEC. CENTEC really must ensure that the network, that is the transmission network, is fully digitized and is available throughout the country. The amateurs, that talks to the interference, because we do have neighboring countries in here, and radio frequency spectrum does not respect boundaries. The cut, of course, So there's a need for us to work closely with our neighboring countries. I think the minister talked to this. Then the next one is around DPT, the availability of the digital terrestrial devices. In this one, there's a role that is supplies, ensuring that we have a set of boxes and the related exercise, meaning that we must have the antennas, we must also have satellite dishes, and ensure that it's connected with the installation of those devices. And then the responsibility that also comes with consumer awareness, I've also touched on this, and the role that SAP must play in terms of logistics and distribution. The next one is your migration, which is the responsibility which is done by SATEC and the various broadcasters, ETV, SABC, MNET, Community Television. And then the next one is the analog switch-off stage, which is going to be done by ICASA, USA, and CENTEC. And also after that, there is a process that needs to be undertaken again to clean the spectrum, which is a digital migration, which is frequency restricting, which in the main is done by CENTEC and ICASA. Then we can talk about a digital dividend release once that process is done. In terms of background, the minister has indicated in slide number four, the project is a flagship project of the department, and the powers to implement following the 2nd December 2014 proclamation by the president, as minister indicated, the government on 1st January 2016. In March 2015, cabinet approved the final amendment to the BDM policy, the broadcast digitalization policy. So those approvals include that STBs to include a control system, which in the main is going to be used to prevent, to protect government investment in the sector boxes, and also ensure that the boxes don't function outside the borders of the country. And also that the government will provide free sector boxes to 5 million 4GB owning households, which was a shift of the 2008 position of government that says we only provide 70% of the subsidy to so that we got 100% subsidy to the indigent. And also the minister will announce the digital switch on and switch off dates after consultation with government, as she has indicated. I'll go straight into the progress that we've made. As I indicated, I think this slide, to take out from this slide, is that this policy has been amended twice, the 2008 policy in 2012, and also in 2015, as I have indicated. And the 2012 amendments were also challenged by ETV, and the 2015 amendments were also challenged by ETV. And I will talk that to that issue of the challenges in 2015. As I indicated, is approved on 4th March and adopted on 18th March, and the cabinet has announced 1st February 2016 the dual immunization performance period, meaning that the time when the boxes must start be available in the retail market, ensure that those who want to produce the boxes for the retail market can start doing so, and also ensuring that the other broadcaster like MNET can also start doing their own set of boxes in that phase. On the regulations, as I indicated, this has been done, and they're published, and the regulation for digital channel licensing has been finalized and published by ICASA. The standards which have been approved by Cabinet in 2008, which was the DVB-T2 standard, just for the benefit of members, stands for South African National Standards. South African National Standards 862, and DVB-T2 stands for Digital Video Broadcasting Second Generation. The 2008 policy approved the DVB-T, which was the first generation standard. And we had to upgrade it to use the second generation standards, which is DVB-T2. This has been done and completed and published. Then the direct to home DTH for application standard 1719 was completed. This one focuses on the satellite, which is a standard called DVB minus S2, which is second generation of the satellite standard.
Then the third standard talks to the IDTVs, stands for Integrated Digital Television Standard. The number 10352 were completed in September 2015. To ensure that the production of the sector of the television side with digital tuners must be done in line with the standard. I must say, honourable members, that this process is a process which is based on consensus, which is a process that is led by the SADS and with the participation of the industry. Meaning that the broadcasters themselves have participated in the process of developing those standards. And the last point is that IGTV is the future, as the 2012 cabinet approved set-top box maritime development strategy. Because our view is that the set-top boxes are not permanently, are not going to be a permanent feature in the digital space, but rather to be used as a transition mechanism. The future is over the IGTVs. In fact, these TVs are available in the retailers as we speak. That was, as I indicated, it covers 84% and 10% of the population respectively. A network is optimized and ready across the country. The network has been ready since 2008 in October, when the digital signal was switched on by the former minister, Dr. Masiloka Zavol. And all 183 transmitters across the country are configured with DTT network and currently in full operation. We in terms of the rollout of the project, because we have opted not to have a big bang approach, but rather to adopt a phased approach in the rollout of the project, with about 8 phases. Phase 1, which is going to focus on the Northern Cape, in the main focusing on the square kilometer array, because when we were bidding for the square kilometer array, we made an undertaking that there will not be in that area there will not be frequency interferences and there will not be noise, and indeed we have started in that space and we provide progress on that and looking at the areas around Free State, because already they made available the frequencies, and there's a pressure now for us to be able to move out of certain parts in the Free State area. The second phase will focus on Mpumalanga and some portion of KwaZulu-Natal. The third phase is Limpopo because of the borders with Zimbabwe. Phase 4, northward borders with Botswana, and then we go to Eastern Cape. Sixth phase, KwaZulu-Natal province. Then we go to Western Cape and then finish with the inlet, which is the Gauteng province. This slide just amplifies what I already spoken about in terms of the phases and what they try to address. On the dual frequency spectrum harmonization, there is a need for us to work closely with our neighbors. I think in this regard, the minister has been to Botswana, Lesotho, Swaziland, Mozambique and Namibia. We are yet to engage with Zimbabwe. A memorandum of agreements are in the development process, but however we sign memorandum of cooperation agreements with all of these countries. So after so far, since the premises were made available, we have not had interferences that have been reported up to so far. Coming to the issue of the acquisition of the second boxes and related accessories, which is the responsibility of USASA. USASA has appointed a panel of 27 manufacturers to supply the top boxes, direct to home, the top boxes, antenna, and satellite dishes. And in August 2015, a purchase order was placed with two manufacturers to produce 1 million digital terrestrial television set-top boxes, and also one to produce 500,000 direct to home set-top boxes. Also, two manufacturers were appointed to produce 1 million antennas and also 500,000 satellite dishes, which are going to work with the DTH set-top boxes. Manufacturers passed the conformance regime at the SABS testing in October and November, and production of STVs and SSIs commenced in November 2015.
and DTC and DTHSTBs were made available in December 2015 when the minister launched, on the 17th of December, launched the first DTT services at Kemos in the Northern Cape area. This slide here, you know, give and indicate who are the companies that have been appointed by the by USASA. The first company is CZ Electronics. The other DMA, the second one, WOA Africa, which is focusing on the direct home satellite sector boxes. On the antennas is QEC and Temi Manufacturing, and also like digital is Alice Industries. So the slide here indicates the units that have been manufactured up to so far. If you look at the column that units manufactured, it's 445,000 by CZ, 178,000 by Lala Dima, War Africa 23,000, QEC has done 126 antennas, Temi has done 65,000, and Alice has done 401 satellite dishes. Delivered to Sako. Almost all of this have been delivered to support in terms of the rent value. The next column talks to the rent value of the products which have been manufactured up to so far, and all the amount paid since delivery of the project in a safe way. This slide here just like to show how Sarapan Post Office packages the laptop boxes. I think the colleagues can give more information around that, how they do it in terms of the numbering, the serial numbers. At any given point in time, they are able to know the stock which they have and the stock that has been connected and is dispatched to the consumers. In the SK area, which we are using as a pilot site, just to say that the 1st of October registration started in the SKA area. First date for December, Mpumalanga and Limpopo, 1st February 2016. And distribution and installation in the Northern Cape area has started. And I must say, we are ready in that area to make the first switch off of the digital analog transmitter because we've covered almost more than 85% of the population in that area. Meaning that in the core areas, in the carnival, the signal is ready and we can switch off the signal anytime. So in terms of the numbers of distribution, 32,000 registrations have been registered across the country, and 3,000 of these constitutes 91% of qualifying applications. 15,000 of these are in the SK area. In the SK area, we've got 23,000 households, who are supposed to be connected, and we have already done 15,000, registrations in that area, and 15,802 STB kits have been issued in the Northern Cape, and of which 14,000 of these are in the SK area itself, and 15,000 of these have been also been assigned to the installers. A total of 18,339 installations have been completed and digital services are activated, meaning that the majority of the people in the SKA area now have got access to digital services. These services are available and they are watching digital services in those areas. Amount of vouchers redeemed is 6.8 million to date in terms of the installations. The slide that is before you now, slide number 18, it talks to the issues around the set of boxes or the set of boxes or antennas or kits which may have difficulties or challenges. I think the slide here, what it says is that there's a variance in the capacity of the company that's manufacturing. I think in terms of the SLA agreement signed between the USASA and these manufacturers, it's a 2% faulty they allow. And I think looking at this, we are way below that, meaning that the products that we are getting are in tune with the standards that has been approved by the SABS. And I think and they are using the best technologies to be able to manufacture the set boxes.
slide number 19 talks to the companies, as I indicated earlier on. I mean, in the number, in terms of the numbers, you know, store and how much money has been paid, also including how much stock is in the warehouse of the South African Post Office, you know, as it were. So the capacity of manufacturing and the capacity of support to do what is not best, which is to do logistics. I think that in Chester, I think SAPA is doing a fantastic job around ensuring that there is that similar distribution to all parts of the country. In terms of the overview, from SAPO, in terms of how they will want to roll out the office in slide number 20, it covers all the provinces in terms of the projections that they will need to be delivered per year, and also until per month, per quarter, per month, and per day. The connection must help us to be able to move quicker and also be sure that the entire country is migrated within the shortest possible time. Again, on the 16-17, the completion of the ATV registration issue installation payout process in the SKA is the first priority for this year. And the completion of the STB registration in the remaining portion of the Western Cape province and focus of the borderline areas, as I indicated, remains a priority area. Facilitating the STB issuing phase and STB selection payment process in the remaining portion of the Northern Cape area is another issue. Then go to Lesotho, it's what we deal with the interference that might arise as a result of, the awarding of the frequency by the Lesotho authorities. So this activation by SAPO in the retail 828 outlets in the entire country, and also the fiscal SAPO in the post offices in the entire country. 17-18, again, the focus will be to issuing to all five remaining provinces in line with resisting uptake, focus on the bottom line areas, as I indicated. 18-19, we hope that we'll be able to be finalizing all the provinces and ensure that we're able to migrate the services in those areas. This slide here that shows the work that is happening within SAPO, the warehousing, how the stock is checked, how it's packaged, so that every consent which is there is properly marked and also properly dispatched according to the registration that is happening across the country. Public awareness and consumer awareness, I think I must say here, remember that the success of this project is dependent on the ability of us to galvanize communities to adopt this set-top office. I think this is one area that we are seriously underfunded as the department. There are no resources here. The amount that we have for 16-17 is 900,000 rands, which cannot even cover the healthcare area. But we, as Minister has indicated, we did not say we don't have money, then we'll sit down and not do anything. We have to ensure that we find a better way of how do we get the process moving. The strategy is there, has been done, the key messages are there, they're all available in all 11 official languages. And almost every fortnight, we are running a digital user program with the minister so that we can create awareness. And as we do this, for example, when we went to an area in Limpopo, where when we were there, there were about very few registrations. By the time we leave, there were more than 500 registrations. I think that number is increasing, in a situation. For people to go. So the success of the project is dependent on the ability of us to communicate and be able to communicate the benefits of the project to the consumers. If we don't have proper funding around this, I think it will take longer. And I think that has the first implications on the ability of Entech, sustainability of it, because it is currently running two signals, analog and digital signal. But what we then did was to ensure that we do door-to-door campaigns using the staff that we have in the department, meaning that the colleagues in the PMO office had to leave their offices and be
on the ground, being overalls, assisting with the registration process, you know, so that I think the colleagues of SAPO can also attend to this. So the success of this project, you know, is at a serious risk because of the lack of funding around consumer and awareness issues. Now, digital content and global migration, this is happening. The SABC 4 channels are available on the network. Security TV channels are available, as Minister it has indicated, and 18 SABC radio stations are available. In all the areas that we have connected. I think the major benefit here is that we'll be able to deal with the issue about the geographic spread of languages. You will not necessarily, for example, have a which is only focusing in the Eastern Cape area, but through the set-top box, you are able to listen to Mkabawanian anywhere in the country. The same with all indigenous radio stations are available across the country. So the choice for people to be able to listen to the stations of their choice. Essential channels to be made available for the implementation of the digital migration program. And as I indicated, pollination product is there, and I think we're seeing companies now able to deploy set of boxes like Mnet for their services in that space. Contribution 9.10, we look at a project that it will contribute significantly towards ensuring that we ensure that the people who are doing the installations are able to get something out of the project. In this regard, because of the challenges we face of funding, we had to engage the Public Works and they come to the party, and we signed an MOU to tap onto the EPWP program so that we can use the EPWP program to do the installations in those areas. At least we target that we do 10 installations per local municipality. If you look at all municipalities, we're looking at about 2,780 to be 10 nationally. And the program will have to ask the young people on installations and post rollout support. Funding challenges, this slide here talks to the Centec lack of funding for dual illumination. As it is now, Centec was only funded 100,000 for this financial year for the next period in the MTF. So there's no funding. There's a funding shortfall of about 106 million that is required to ensure that Centec is able to sustain its network over the MTF period. So there's serious lack of funding around this area. But I must say, we have on the 30th of August, the CEOs and the DOC, we have met together with DTPS, we have met with National Treasury. They've given us until 30th of October to make a substantive funding request on the all the issues that are raised, either on the issues of set-top box shortfall, public awareness, the call center, and the dual illumination issue that FedEx has. So all of those things, there is an engagement with the National Treasury, as I've indicated, but that we're able to be properly funded. The other issue that I want to flag in this slide is the need for a contact center, which in our view is quite very critical because you are able to quickly deal with the issues that are on the ground. For example, last week there were connections that were made in a village in Mtitit, in Limpopo, about 5 of them. Over the weekend, the team of PC and Central, they were working to resolve issues, in those areas. So the meaning that the contract center and its ability to provide people with the opportunity to raise those issues becomes very much important. And this function is not funded. And I think we have just asked Centec to use their existing contact center that they have. It's quite very small. They are using it to do their own work, and we ask them to put more value on that contract. So there's no funding for that. This is the area that I think we're also engaging with the National Treasury, that we're able to get the necessary funding. So there's also funding that is small on the distribution side, on SAPO. That also we have been to Treasury, and we are engaging with the National Treasury on that. And I think this project, honorable members, I want to indicate that SAPO, Southern Post Office, has proven once again that they have got the capacity as logistics and distribution company to do this work, and I think they are doing a fantastic job.
I think I just want to say that we're able to utilize this asset that we have in Sabo to be able to do many other things. And I think they've done a fantastic job. They've got the capacity. They know exactly what they're doing. And I think we want to just thank Sabo for being diligent in this project to be where we are today. So there are issues of legal challenges that I spoke to, that this policy was challenged in 2012. In 2012, it was challenged by ETV because the then Minister of Communications had designated Centec as the STB control system vendor. So ETV felt that the Minister had the power to do so, which in our view was one of the best decisions that was going to assist. We tried to mitigate that by ensuring that in 2015 the issue of control system would define it, but once again it was a further challenge. This matter served in 2015 the court, where the court ruled in favor of the Minister of Communications that the Minister is right. ETV appealed this matter, and the judgment ruled in favor of ETV. In essence, setting aside only one clause of the policy, which deals with the fact that the STB control system for the free-to-air DT STBs shall not have permission to encrypt broadcast signal to subsidize STBs. But fundamentally, there's a section there that says any broadcaster who wants to provide the service that they want to, for example, if you want to be in the pay space, you must go and make your own investment in that system. Because that's a commercial decision that you must take on the basis of your own strategy as a company. I think the department has just filed an application in the Constitutional Court because we believe that there are issues of constitutionality that arise as a result of this Supreme Court of Appeal, because the right to broadcasting is a constitutional right in terms of Section 1 and 2, so that there's clarity and finality around the issues in terms of the who must pay for the system. I think I've touched on this in all the interviews that we've made in absence of funding deficiencies. So we have engaged with Treasury with all entities that are here. We've done protocol stations, and I think we have partnered with the local municipalities in the SK area to use the volunteers who have assisted a lot. We also formed partnership with the adolescent training, as I indicated on the EPW program, and engagement with the retail sector to get buying for the employment distribution on the retail market. And I must say, this area again is proving to be another major area, because the people who must buy, also getting shelves and all of those things in the sales space, because proving to be difficult area. I think it's the main, because the production for the retail market, is not moved up to a level where it's supposed to be. So in conclusion, the success of the project depends on the 7 C's costs, in terms of ensuring that we've got enough costs to fund the 5 million for TV owner houses, and the availability of the STB's conformance, that the boxes must conform to the network, coverage in terms of ensuring that the DTH satellite becomes a gap filler in these areas, cooperation between broadcasters, distribution of investors and government and consumer groups, content which is appealing, that will encourage people to acquire the set-top boxes, and then communication and consumer support. That's not support to all the things that we've done. Thank you so much, Honourable Members and Members. We'll be ready to take the questions. And I think we are here at the team, and I think the colleagues will then provide further information and details around some of the things that may come. Thank you so much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, for your presentation. We are going to take comments, questions from members. I noted Mr. Toilet requested to leave. You would want to say something in case you leave and we know you're fine.
Thank you, Chair. I think Minister Hamdi covered most of the things. Just a few points. Just to re-emphasize what the Acting DG was saying, that this is a massive project, which requires a lot of coordination and resources. and also to remember what is this purpose. It's really to unlock the sexual by removing sperm, which is locked in the unlock, to digital services for both television and the telcos. So it is important that because that will help us in our broadband services. We are also tracking this in the under 16 because it's a massive, also involved an infrastructure rollout which needed to be there. And that infrastructure was not there in some of those rural areas. And we have to cover everybody. And just to stress, Jefferson, that the much as this project is called traditional project, but it's a very powerful tool to assist those who are poor can afford. So that it is in our interest that it actually moves, because the decision to subsidize 100% making a grant is quite progressive, because from the it is a correct decision, because you can imagine the uptake. It was going to be even more difficult if we, it was according to what was proposed initially. And I think much as the DG has said that in certain boxes are still scaling in the market, but the mere fact that we now we are set up the policy and people can manufacture the integrated digital television, so mission can go and buy this. But it doesn't have to get a set-top box, which is a transitional measure. The key to me then is going to be cooperation among the key departments, including the DCI, because the local manufacturing is what will actually bring down the cost and create even further jobs. Both of these set-top boxes and television as well. So I don't actually praise those things. The challenges we have really, as Minister Mohammed said, we agree that it's around the funding, and it's starting to constrain the project massively. Because if you can't advocate and encourage and have a media campaign, then people are not going to know. They're not going to take up this project. And just to remind the colleagues a few years ago, was a massive project, but it was funded to register what you call your SIM cards. I can't remember its second name. Rika. Yeah. So it's very important that we continue to try within the constrained resource environment to get additional funding because of impact of the project. And we hope that those who are dealing with the allocation of finances, the cabinet will look at it quite favorable. So I thought that we just raise those things that the Centech really took our money. But we have to transfer that money to the women with treasury, because otherwise they are not going to have anything for Juba. There was no ambition for Juba administration. And if it was not transferred, there was going to be no. The project was also because if there's no dual elimination, we cannot implement the project. So all those challenges around the funding, whether it's for the Department of Communication in terms of publicity and information, not propaganda, information, informing the citizens, it's going to be quite critical. And the entities which are actually implementing SAPO, USASA, thank you very much, Evelyn.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tolu. Colleagues will open the floor for comments, questions. Note that we are two committees, so we're going to try and manage each member so that all of us have the opportunity to speak. We'll have first round, and then after that we'll have second round of comments. So can we limit our questions to at least three per person? I have Honorable McKenzie, Honorable Shin,
Honorable Nivo Dregen, Honorable Van Dijk, also, hey, I'm a look at the other side, Honorable Tsotetsi, Honorable Sedi, Honorable Dongeni, I hope I have all the names, okay. Is that all the members? Honorable Mackenzie, the first one.
Thank you, Jefferson, and thanks for the presentation. In terms of logistics for SAPA, the manufacturers have built X number of set-top boxes. Do they then, or have they, according to the biggest supply, delivered all these boxes to a central SAPA depot where they saw, or are the manufacturers holding some of these back based on orders to come? What is the cost? I'll tell you why I'm asking that question. I'm waiting for a follow-up. What is the cost of the SAPO storage for those items? Because from my view, it would make a lot of sense to say to the manufacturer, we need X number of boxes, X number of area, and deliver on this day. And I'll tell you why I'm asking that question. Just based on the court challenge currently before the Constitutional Court, what impact has that had on the delivery? In other words, did the department order the set of boxes, have those delivered to the SAPO, and notwithstanding the court challenge continues to roll this out, what sort of impact, what sort of cost is that going to have on the department if SAPO is charging for storage? I'm not sure if you can answer this for me. In my view, nothing is free. These set of boxes are not free. Somebody's paying for them. There is no cost, obviously, to the consumer or to the customer, but there is a cost attached to them. What is the total cost per unit per household? And I'll include the box in that, the logistics charge, the addition, the antenna, and the installation charge, if you could give me that figure. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Shin.
The huge gaps in this presentation, and it's perhaps the elephant in the room. One obviously is how long is this? When we expect a decision by the Constitutional Court, which is holding up the whole process? And then the other one is what happened to the National Treasury inquiry into the whole procurement process that Minister, you received in April? Are there any challenges coming from that? Are there going to be people charged? Are there going to be people disciplined? Is there going to be any civil action against any of the people involved in that procurement process? There's just one little query. We keep talking about 5 million boxes, 3 boxes, then we talk about 5.2 million boxes. Now, even in this presentation, we have a contradiction. Slide 22 says 5.2 million, slide 4 says 5 million. So, can we please have some consistency on that? Because I keep seeing articles where that number fluctuates, will be said at 5.2. Also, looking at, I obviously have the orders that were placed with the three companies at the end of last year, and all set-top boxes should have been delivered by the end of March, all 5 million of them. Obviously, that hasn't happened because here we have that 646, 800 have been made. Of these, only 13,000 have been installed. So do I gather that there's 631,000 set-top boxes sitting somewhere in the country? And if so, at what cost? Because that's obviously the whole delay and what I regard as the whole failure of this project is not so much the immediate cost here, but the delay in actually switching off the signal. One journalist has estimated that at the current rate of installation, the analog signal will be switched off in 400 years' time. Now then we won't need television to all be receiving these programs automatically into our minds.
It's a question on the, which one is 5.2.
Now, I'm wanting a point of clarity, it's not a question.
Hmm?
I was asking for a point of clarity, it wasn't a question. I was asking to be consistent in this slide, which figures did I talk to? 5 million or 5.2 million? They give us both figures. That's a question of clarity, Chair.
That's not a question.
I just wanted to clarify, thank you. Then the costing of this, do you have any idea what the total cost of this program is? Because we have, Treasury has allocated, I think it is about one, somewhere on the line, about 1.2, good, I think 2 million so far, 2.1 million. And, you know, 5 years ago we worked out that just the set-top boxes alone were going to cost about 4 billion. So obviously we haven't got even enough money to produce the boxes. We don't have enough money to do the dual illumination. We don't have the money to do the marketing. We don't have the money to do the spectrum set. Do we have any idea of what this is going to cost before we can switch over from the analog signal? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for your presentation from the department. So I would like to ask in connection with training. On slide 26, it shows training at least 10 per local municipality. I want to know, is it the training only for installers to install the units, or training for whenever any problems comes up in the future, so they've also got the experience to do that? So that's one question. And then secondly, I ask about those who do not fall in the low-income households, who can afford this, when it happens that they have to pay the box and the satellites themselves, by when do they need to be prepared in their own homes so that they can switch over? And then thirdly, quickly this morning, I sent a message to a deaf person in the Northern Cape area and asked whether he knew about the preparations, and he said no. So I know that the funding that for sharing the information you have not yet received, but the deaf community is not aware of the digital migration. So also include disabled people in your awareness campaigns. And also, keep in mind, I said this before, the setup box is the capability to have subtitles. You know, don't omit that when this program is complete, because our deaf community also needs to have access to this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Fadik.
Thank you, and thank you also for the presentation. I just want to mention on page 17, it says that in 1 year, 13,339 installations were completed. At this rate, how long do you think would it take to complete 5 million? Because if you look at page 20, it indicates that in the Northern Cape, 37,688 is supposed to be done per year, which, if my calculations is correct, it shows that it's only 18% that has been completed. And as a subsection of this first question, I want to know what will the financial impact be of this, and also with regards to the budget that was proposed initially, with regards to the rollout of the set-up boxes, how does the actual spending compete to this? Then I want to know, in order to receive these set-up boxes, people have they need TV licenses, and according to the law, and a lot of poor people actually cannot afford the 265 rand for that. So how does the department minister, how is that going to be addressed with regard to the rolling out of the set-up boxes? And then I also on that what Honourable Shin said around the switch-off date, the minister indicated that that will happen after consultation with the cabinet, but when will this consultation happen? Because it actually leaves an open time frame. And I think the whole of this country wants to know when that date will occur. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Sotiri.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is on the ownership of the companies, that is manufacturers and suppliers of FDBs. We have to know which ones are black-owned and which ones are owned by other people who have been advanced previously. That is the adherence to the eco transformation policy. And in as far as this manufacturing is concerned, has there ever been incidents of defects in the manufacturing of these FQBs? And coming to the shortage of funds, sometimes we have plans that you know, raise expectations that you become ambitious in our plans, not considering the fact that we have a challenge in funds. So I would like to know if your plans are really taking to the budget, the targets that you intend to achieve, given the amount of money that you have, and the fact that you are raising that you have a very serious challenge of a fund. Is your plan or your plans, are they taking into what you have in as far as the budget is concerned?
Honorable David.
Two issues, sir. I'm sorry. But let me start by appreciating the progress that has been registered so far. Equally, the awareness around this very important project that we've been witnessing in some of the provinces where some of us have been part of this engagement. But I encourage on two issues. One is with regard to the capacity of SAPO in terms of personnel, especially in rural areas, whether we have dedicated officers or whether we are relying on the very same officers who have always been operating in those post offices. Secondly, is the issue of the disapproved applications for set-top boxes. Every stage do we go back to people who have been disqualified so that they are able to make the necessary corrections when necessary? And lastly, if the challenge of lack of funding that has been raised or which has been raised already, but I wanted clarity with regard to the shortfall in particular. I'm raising this thing because I had the honorable member was talking about 2 point something. DG earlier spoke about 900,000 which has been allocated in the past. So I'm interested in the shortfall. If you were to effectively execute the mandate around this very important project, how much is the shortfall?
Thank you. Honorable Ndungeni.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is, which criteria have been used to employ these donors? Since you said in each municipality is 10. Second one, this is a huge project and require high level expertise to ensure the successful rollout of the project. Is the department already ready for this? This is a huge project, and require high level of perspective. How confident is the department of the state of readiness in terms of the necessary expertise? The third one, has the department have a kind of collaboration with other entities to get an assistance with the training? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Nellis, for those comments, questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Mine will be just a comment. A number of questions have been asked. This is a very huge project, and it talks to a transformation in the country. Transformation in terms of access to facilities that people are supposed to get. I think what all of us need to do, because of lack of funds for the project, I know from the DG's presentation there is an engagement with Treasury. And I think for the success of this whole project, we need to just be behind the department in doing a number of things, meeting at the level of the committee chair, sharing with
our counterparts, finance committee and all of that. So I think as committees, we need to do that as well so that the product is successful. Number two, at the high level, we cannot succeed in terms of awareness. We really need to take on board the localities. You know, the local government is quite critical in this. So that as we try to make people aware, they assist us as people who are very close to the people. You know, I was watching at some stage Minister of Communication. I can't remember whether it was Northern Cape or Northern. You know, people having access for the first time. It's quite, if I can say, heartening. Because people are now exposed to things that for so many years they were never exposed to. And for me, this is transformation. This is what we need to do because it's our project, the transformation. I just wanted to say that so that together we make the project successful.
I saw in from Honorable Galago.
No, sir, it's just to maybe the ministers, if they can just, because I worry here is as the department is raising the question of funding deficiency. If maybe you, the ministers can shed just a light for us on how far the engagement with Treasury. And then the other question, if maybe it can be explained clear, so that maybe one is clear, what are the implications of the court case? Does it mean the department, you have to suspend the project whilst waiting for the outcome of the court? If you can just shed light on that.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the DG for the clear presentation. Mine, Chair, is the issue of the duration in the project. What is the time frame for this project? And also in the public and consumer awareness, where the Minister of Digital Migration in Lizo come in, supposed to start in. I just want to know which province is starting this migration. This public and consumer awareness, and which province is not starting. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm going to firstly allow the remarks from the Minister of the issues high level. I want to respond and then we'll go. I noted the quite a number of issues across from various as well, relating to various entities and the department. So we'll start with if there are any remarks from the ministers, and then we come to the departments and the entities. I hope colleagues have noted the questions that relates to them. Some of them I'll just call for colleagues to respond. Minister Mutambi.
I agree that the bulk of the questions were directed to entities. On the issue of the budget, of course the budget, the entities which fall under me will always support them. We write letters in a formal process of how to request budgets. We write those letters to the National Treasury. At the same time, we do copy Minister Tandy, who's the project leader, so that she's aware of what we. So we understand the challenges National Treasury is facing, but all what we are doing is to try and so if, what we've done, we have sent the letters, we have sent the budget request, we have even sent the a few questions as for adjustments. So that's all what we can do in terms of the protocols and the law in terms of support of the project. I thought that should just, that was the only question I thought it was directed here. That we will support this project. It is in our interest that it is completed. As I said earlier on, because it will unlock and assist us to advance in terms of our development and ensuring that the access to digital services reaches everybody across the country. So I thought I should just raise those. But I've got competent chairpersons and officials who are coming and board members who are coming from the entities. I thought I should just say that because they're just stressed. I mustn't miss the slide, otherwise meetings will have to be cancelled. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for granting me the permission to give. Minute and time we will be here to answer all the difficult questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. To start with questions relating to travel. You can go ahead to the panel.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and answer the questions in the order that they came up. First, to say that the bulk, if not almost all of the units have been manufactured, have been delivered to us. The total number of units in storage is obviously a function of the throughput. So to the extent that the take-up on the other side happens, so the storage reduces. At the moment, the storage costs are quite high. We are storing 1.1 million items of different sizes, currently in 14 warehouses around the country. The total monthly cost of all of that storage is about 3 million rand a month. And so that is obviously a considerable amount, but it's directly related to how quick the drawdown is on the other side. So as we see the demand growing, we see ourselves internally distributing the units that are ready more geographically into the rural areas. We have a system now which was mentioned earlier, which was approved by the Auditor General in terms of its ability to manage the system. We have full track and trace capability on all of those entities, and so that's our role. The further costs that could be incurred, although in the statistics currently those are very low, is where you get returns, where we have to go and fetch to repair something. I think we charge 100 rand per replacement, but those are relatively small numbers in the scheme of things. We do have dedicated officials in the distribution process, but in particular, that grows significantly when we look at involving the retail postal network of 828 places regionally. I think that we are well placed, and there's evidence to suggest that the door-to-door marketing campaign has been the most successful. If you consider the backdrop to this project, it is exactly those people in the rural areas to which we are wishing to deliver this, this capability, and we are the best represented entity to be there. So we've seen significant, we did a door-to-door campaign between May and June, and that's more than beat the budget expectations of rollout. As just the delivery intermediary, we're grateful for the appreciation expressed for our services, and I'm proud of the team that's done that. But we stand ready to expand to our entire rural footprint, and we can go national in every respect. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Santa, anything for you?
Sebastian, I think the question was asked about the total cost of the project from an infrastructure perspective. It is a function of how long it takes for us to switch off and on off. So I can't give a definitive number, but in the total number that is presented during the MTF, it's about 600 million plus minus for dual illumination over the period. But how long it takes and it will determine the total figure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The SASA related questions, one speaks to the cost household. It is 1,670.11 and of that is set-top boxes 842.41, antennas 177.70 and installation is 650 rand. So that's the cost per household is therefore 1,670.11. The second question that related to 5 billion or 5.2, as we understand the cabinet approved 5 billion, so working on 5 billion. Yes. The last or the second last question to Sasa in terms of these data, we can possibly, if the chairs allow, we can give a table of the status of all the companies and send it to the committee as soon as early next week, if the chairs allow. But if they don't, we can, if you want the answer, that we are just checking. We have a company, but we wanted to just consolidate into one information that we can submit to your service. The typical question I'll leave to my board member, the implications of the Supreme Court of Appeal judgment. Advocate Sandu, through you, Chair.
Okay. Jonathan, what we have done as the board after receiving the judgment of the Supreme Court of Appeal? We then sought legal opinion, and we got legal opinion from three sets of attorneys, and one of them being a senior counsel. And the opinion was to the effect that we will be failing in our responsibility as the board if foreseeing the risk that is involved in continuing with the project, and we then continue to procure or order more set-top boxes. We then made the decision to suspend the fair manufacturing or placement of quotas of the STBs, and those STBs are only the ones that relate to DTT. DTH is not affected. We know that this decision, obviously, there is opposition to it. There is a view that we shouldn't. The mere issuing of that order does not really bar us from continuing to manufacture the set-top boxes. But we then said we want to err on the side of caution, simply because there are issues of funding that have been expressed in this house. And if we then continue and place these orders, not knowing what the Constitutional Court judgment will say about the issue of encryption capabilities of the STBs, we might then, at the end of the day, be found to have embarked on a process that will be wasteful and fruitless. So that is the issue. It's not really a final decision per se. What we have said is that we are open to engagement so that we can find a lasting solution to this issue, but also a solution that is really defensible. Thank you, Chair.
Just to conclude, to say we are in constant engagement with our principal in this regard so as to be together as we move forward. So it's a matter that is under discussion. Thank you.
Okay. Did I forget from the implementing ones? We'll be fine. Then we can move to the department. DJ? Take the technical question.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will deal with the question that talks to the costs. Do you have any idea of the total cost of the project in a situation way? I think as the CEO of Shelter has indicated, on some aspects that we have, we like the chronological awareness, we do have an idea of the costs that we will require, and I think I will ask the Dr. Dubi to indicate that in terms of how much the cost that will require. In terms of that, but that also cost that comes with the decision to increase from 70% subsidy to 100%. That means all has got cost implications on the number of that you are going to be producing out there. Is what the minister of Telecom spoke to when he said his engagement with Shajara and that. So I think Dr. Ntuli will talk to that question. The issue around the, I think it was a comment from the Honorable Tohan, in terms of the need to ensure that we cater for the needs of the people living with disabilities. Indeed, the box enables for subtitling and to provide interactive services as part of the standards. That is there, and I think it's well covered. Subtitling, I think that is also the box can also do that. The issue of the license, TV license, I think the minister in the budget vote did touch on this, that initially when we started it was a major issue. But the minister then took a decision to enable people to be registered. That's why we're able to put the numbers in S2, because the challenges that are on the ground when we implement the project is no longer theory, it's practice. You've got somebody who is not working, who's owed 8,000 rand. That person can't afford. There's no way that person will have the money tomorrow. And what we do? So I think minister has made determination around that. I think that's what we have been able to get the project moving to where it is. The other question was around the defects. I think the defects, the number is very minimal. Earlier on I said in terms of the SRA, there's a 2% allowance in terms of the consignment that must have defect, and I think we are at a 0 point something, so meaning that I think that issue has not been an issue situation. But I think probably when we move now and go full scale, it may be an increase of that. I think we just need to be ready to deal with things like this. But I think the instances of defects are quite very minimal as we speak. I think the other question that I think probably CEO mentioned, the issue of the criteria for installation, maybe you can touch on it. You didn't touch on it. Because that's another way of responsibility. So what I indicated from our side, to be able to assist with the installation processes, as I indicated, was to say how do we tap into the APWP program. In that effect, we'll sign an MOU with the DPW, Public Works, so that we can tap into the training budget that they have for APWP program. So that is what I think it will assist us to be able to move quicker, to do that. I think the issues from the chair, I think we took note of that. I think those are the questions. I think the other question of the course, is for the minister, so that we can deal with that. But I think our take from a policy point of view on this matter, and I think what the policy is saying, the policy says, and I think that's what we look for, is that depending on the kind of service that you want to provide as a broadcaster, you have to make investments into the kind of technology that you want to use in that regard. So, and I think our understanding is that the court case is not interdict into the project itself, and I think we should be able to move. Thanks so much. Sure.
see Umjinto. There's something that you forgot.
Thanks, I'll ask Makoto to answer that.
The qualifying criteria for benefiting from the scheme is a green barcoded ID, proof of residence, as well as proof of income, mainly that you earn below between 0 and 2,200 then. Initially, there was a criteria that required the TV license. That is no longer the case. That has been delinked, which is why we've seen the increase in registration. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister.
Yes, I know I've been launched by the Minister of Telecommunications. I'll start with the simple ones. Honorable Mashop, the issue of DTP awareness. I want to also link the response that with the chair of the portfolio committee has raised to say this project is not about the ministry and implementing entities. As we also need ourselves as members of the portfolio committee to support us to that effect. And then chairperson of the PCC portfolio committee communication, indeed this is the approach that we are using to assist local government, to talk to local government to assist us. That's why in terms of our earnings campaign, we make sure through our IGR we work in the district starting from the provinces. The provincial leadership, the district municipality, the local municipalities. And what was found very much encouraging, there are mayors, like the mayor of Kings in particular, who then opted to become ambassadors and they assisted together with their councillors at the reception because everybody then understood the narrative that you are trying to say, this is about access. And you are talking about people since the dawn of democracy. Some of them never had access to television services. You're talking about the most rural poor areas. And then this is how we decided to deal with this. We said in the first place, Honorable Mashaba, we must target all the borderline areas based on our discussion that we had with our neighboring countries, realizing that the 17 June 2015 deadline couldn't be met. But I will also say that like the issue of Mozambique also, they migrated long ago, but they couldn't switch on off because they were waiting for South Africa to also switch off. That's the kind of relationship of which they are still committed to that effect. To say we'll only switch off when South Africa is a country. That includes all our neighboring countries. That's the same attitude. Some of them, when we visited them, that's when we started to create awareness. And they themselves now respected because some, like Namibia, they will tell you they've migrated, but when you look at that migration, you can't touch and feel like what you are doing in the country. So that is kind of that was trying to say then. That's why it's almost every province because, you know, most of our provinces are borderline areas. Like when you go to Limpopo, you've got your Musina, and then Mpumalanga, you've got your border post to Mozambique. We've gone the northwest. The other side, you get into Botswana. So all the provinces in particular, I think we've tried to touch them. We've been in the Western Cape in the constituency, honorable member. We've done with that. KZN, we've done that. The Northwest, we've been in Rustenburg, we've been in various areas, Limpopo, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Free State, Northern Cape, and Eastern Cape. That's what we're trying to do in terms of the honest. Colleagues, we also recall that the president signed an SIA. Proclamation on the affairs of the 10 department that had to deal with the tender of Media Corner. That the company was supposed to have dealt with the issues of awareness and the money that was dispersed to that effect. Based on our discussion with the Minister of Telecommunication, that report now is still being submitted to the president. That's where we intend to also get some of the money based on what the SIU is. But we are on constant discussion with the Department of Telecoms. So remember that company was only meant to, it was appointed to do awareness campaign. But with the resources that we are having, also the partnership that we are now engaging on with the local government, I think the support is overwhelming. Also, we would like to also pledge for support from honorable members. And then there was the issue on the engagement of treasury, what are we doing? I think the Mr. Honorable Kaklako helped with that, but also this continuous engagement. The sewer speaking now is the main component, that is also the issue of funding of the DT project is in the agenda of the meeting. We'll be able to update the committees, as we progress. And then on the issue of the implication of the court case, whether do we have to stop the project? I would say we didn't stop the project on the part, based on the fact that those of you who have done law also, once we have launched the application to the Constitutional Court, it meant that the SACA ruling, Supreme Court of Appeal Court, has no effect. More so, I will refrain to deliberate a bit more on the implications based on the fact that that is a judicial matter, it's up to the Constitutional Court to rule. But what I want to say here, to assure members, is that the Supreme Court of Appeal did not rule that the escrow books must have encryption. I want, when you read that judgment which we provided, neither is there anyone who's using that interpretation. That interpretation is wrong. Also, what happened in that Supreme Court of Appeal judgment that the court just struck out one clause, that's the one that is being read around the consultation. But then, as a judgment, we sought legal advice to say then we need to challenge the principle of separation of powers at the Constitutional Court. And then I want to also say up front to say, we, in the past, remember we had this judgment delivered in the High Court wherein it was ruled in our favor. And then the users, the implementing agents, when that judgment was granted in the High Court, they always requested the department to provide guidance on the matters. But you know that there's been change of leadership at the users. So what is different with the current leadership? They opted to do things and then without engaging the ministry and then the later come. But I must assure you, members, that we had a meeting with them after that where we indicated to them what is the position, and the chairperson, the CEO, then he knows what was the outcome of that meeting. But I would say then, based on the outcome of the judgment, there's no need to suspend the rollout. And then acknowledge what Honorable McKenzie has raised to say on the case in which we have been moving with the available set of documents. The date has been set for the hearing, that is the 17th of February 2017. So at least we'll be able to be dispatching whatever is available as the team has indicated. That doesn't stop the project. And then is the issue of capacity that has been raised by yourself, Honorable Ndongeni, whether the department has the capacity to do that. So that's why on our part we establish a team. TMO will bring all the technicals, from all the relevant entities where in the seat. And then as the executive authority, we have a way of providing oversight where in, on a monthly basis, we need to meet, get reports from the TMO. That includes that meeting chaired by me and the minister. As the minister, the deputy minister of telecommunication is expected to sit in that meeting as well, designated by the minister. And then that includes the chairs of boards of those entities, so that we get a rise and also assist in terms of troubleshooting on the project. But we must all also appreciate to say this is a new project to everybody. And in the course of moving, when people are waking, there will be mistakes that happen, but at the end of the day, so how do we correct it? And you put your project management unit in place. And then the issue again, I will deal with the issue of the investigation by treasure on this matter. The police objective itself, you remember the intention of the police objective was also to resuscitate the manufacturing industry in the country. And then when we ask you, Sasa, in terms of the procurement, remember they said they've allocated 27 companies so that everybody could have a share on the issue. But the emphasis that was requested as the department was that we don't want a situation where in, like, installers in Joburg go and install set-top boxes in Northern Cape. That's against the policy, because when we said we wanted to resuscitate the industry, it means then you must empower the young people, women in the communities, the Mzuli, then at least I want to report in one area in the Northern Cape. I had to preside over the certificates, handing over the certificates to the young people that we train there, that they make sure like now when there's problems with the boxes, and then they are also able to do solutions. They are able to assist the community. But that has been the spirit issue that we're still engaging with USASA, because last time when we asked that to say, is there a clause then given the companies that were invited that make sure that in the clause of their contract there should be provision that whoever is doing that at the end of the day they must be able to employ local people, also transfer the skills. That the matter is, and when we will be meeting, will be looking at issues whether it's compliance with that effect, and then that's what we expect the project management office to also report on, that in the empowerment of our people in that community. And then the issue of collaboration with other entities, DG ECLF also reported on the issue of EPWP or partnership with public works that was entered into. Surely for that purpose, we make sure that then we also then capacitate our people in the villages so that they're able to also contribute to towards the economy of this. And then there's an issue raised by Honorable Sandy with regard to the disapproved application for STDs. You heard that you also mentioned the criteria. And then what also caused the delay in the registration, I picked it up because we launched it at the, in the Northern Cape, was this issue of the TV license. You have a situation where in you go there, you find somebody indigent. There's somebody that was literally telling us to say, I want to have a TV, but need to participate, but I can't because I owe SABC over 8,000, and then I've not been employed for the past 15 years. Then you look at that situation. You know, by law, people are supposed to pay TV licenses. But our policies must be able to speak to each other, because you know how the municipality operates. They've got the so-called indigent registers. So this is the issue that we are trying to put. But now, person, when there is a register, we have said that then we need to delay this issue with TV license with the registration process. It shouldn't be seen as an area. But what we need to do now, when you go there, it means then you should, when you don't have a TV license, you'll have to apply your TV license, and then there should be arrangement on how you're going to pay. All monthly installment in their TV license. That is affordable because you are referring to the poor people who are able to pay the grants. But then if you divide the TV license by 10 rand per month, they are able to pay that, and then they are granted the opportunity to then apply and then be in the database. And then since we've intervened there, the uptake they started to increase. And then the issue of your funds, honorable citizens, it's true. Based on this, remember, this project was supposed to have been implemented long ago. You'll recall my predecessor, 2008, there was a date where that was set, that was not realized. And then again, there was another date by my other predecessor that was set for 2014, that was not realized. But there were challenges. I think what matters now is that we are all now committed to make sure that the project becomes reality. And then when, as we engage together, and everybody, the beauty about it, agrees that this project has to go on, because if you can't switch off from analog to digital, then this dream of us then implementing the broadband policies of the country, it won't work. So that's why we are all committed, and I think the colleagues agree that there should be money given. But that money, we know, is limited money, because hence we then have to commission this issue of the allocation of the tenders here, because remember the specific budget that was set, that is 2.5 billion on the matter for the procurement, the supply of 5 million set-top boxes to poor television only households in South Africa. And then indeed, there was confirmation that of the receipt of 2.5 billion that was allocated by National Treasury to USASA, and the determination on how the funds could have been utilized. That's the issue. Then I must update you, because I remember one of you They asked me whether there was going to be action to be taken to whoever was responsible for the mess. And you have raised it again, Honorable Chief. We have since studied the reports, and then we have engaged the chief procurement officer. And then I can assure you, as you have indicated, where people have done to the staff, they have to take responsibility. That includes both civil and criminal action. But then we have since engaged the office of the chief procurement officer. Also, that's the responsibility of the other colleagues that have started to have discussion with him, knowing what is happening here today. Then whoever is involved, that's the responsibility of the Minister of Postal and Telecommunication to act there. But now, the office of the chief procurement officer committed that they will study the findings and provide recommendation about the appropriate legal processes that we need to follow. So that's the method that we have used up. When we come to report in the next time we'll be able to give you progress on how far have we gone on making sure that whoever got the money illegally or legitimately has to then face the music. Honorable Drucken, the issue of deaf person caring for deaf communities is the matter that has been raised in the office today. I don't see also the printing of the awareness material in Braille for those that can read. But what we have managed to do in all of our awareness campaign, where I'm involved, we are involved as a ministry, we make sure that we have translators. If you check that they translate, in particular in the Northern Cape, I've gone there sites where I have outreached with people. In all the events that we did, there are translators that make sure the interpreters so that everybody's taken aboard. But that's the method that we cannot take for granted. It's the method that the team, when you come there, will be able to report you. But that issue of the printing of the materials in a user-friendly basis, that, and also remember we're a communication department. The issue of interpreters in the department, we are soliciting that also together with UCI, that we also have resident interpreters. Whenever the team goes up, then if there are people with disabilities, they will be able to assist them. And then the issue of the costing of the project, I think DG and the PMO, that's the financial part, the technical matters that you need to also, I don't think you've actually dealt with that, but I think you need to respond to that question. Then on the issue of the post office, those of you that were here before, remember when you started making your presentation, they were talking about Plan B, to say the post office don't have capacity, given the troubles the post office was having then. And then we stood here to say part of this project is to make sure that we support the post office to sustain itself. And I remember I was strongly to say the post office is busy dealing with its governance matters. They are about to appoint the board, they are about to appoint the CEO, they are about to appoint management then. And then I've assured the members of the committee then that the post office will have that capacity to deliver the project. And I must say it here based on the attitude that I've worked with the technical people, CEO, the way they embrace it. And then we introduced to them this issue of outreach program. It was an exciting experience to them. So that we are seeing together with the post office then we are able. And I think now our people are able to visit these post offices. And then they are able also to utilize the services of the post office. To them, I don't know what is in their real life, but that's what I've experienced, that now more often, because now they are post office, people are able to go to the post office to register. At the same time, they are able to do other services at the post office. That also assists on the sustainability of the post office. Yeah, I think I've managed to cover all the issues. Just to say, DG and the PMO, you need to deal with this issue that was raised by also by Honorable Van Dijk and another by Kent on the issue of cost. I think you need to deal with it.
Can I deal with the matters?
Thank you, DG, and thank you, Minister, and the member. The issue around the cost of the project, you will recall that the project was due to the number of implementing agencies, the cost associated, we were initially working on the cost of 2.5 billion allocated and appropriated by National Treasury. However, we have also learned at the program office that there were costs pertaining to the procurement of offices. There were costs associated with the distribution and other aspects. That is one of the reasons why we engaged the National Treasury, because we have also realized, just for example, we requested for about 80 million rand to run the public awareness campaign for this financial year, of which we were granted 892,000. That's what was granted to us. And with that, I can, as reported by the minister and the DG, we try to do a lot to through door-to-door campaigns and Northern Cape, and registered a lot of people. In a week, we managed to register about 4,000 people, 4,000 households. If you multiply that by a number of weeks, we can be able to achieve this registration in a two, as Minister initially indicated, to achieve this process of registration in 18 to 24 months, if we happen to have to moving in that pace. But the two costs that we requested for this year, which were not granted, up and above the shortage of the boxes as reported by the DG and the minister, is the cost of the public awareness, which was 80 million, and the cost of the contact center, which was about 152 million rand. Those costs were outlined in a submission that was done to Treasury. But however, just to conclude, the outcomes of the engagement with Treasury is that since the DOC is the lead department in this program, we have resolved with National Treasury that we should do an integrated costing to look at all areas of the shortfalls for the program, for set-top boxes, for public awareness campaign, contact center, and have a submission to National Treasury by the end of October. So that is the exercise that we are currently working on, of which we believe that we'll be able to report on the next meeting about the total cost of the program. I think it is.
Thank you very much. I'm going to hand over to my co-chair to chair the next round of questions.
Yes, members, on the economic transformation policy, you know, we have this policy which is meant to narrow the gap and address the biggest of the past in terms of ownership of the companies. So my question was, which ones are owned by black people and which ones are owned by those who maintain the status quo of the past?
I'll hand over that question to the chair for you first, because that's a question that was not adequately responded. You remember, as we said to the department, when the project was handed over to us, already that procurement issues had already been dealt with. And then I think the society is best placed to deal with it in terms of that figure.
To extend.
Yes, that's the one.
But generally, what are the issues, and we can get the figures later. What is the status? How are we dealing with the issues of transformation? How are we dealing with the issues of? Then we can get the figures in detail later.
Okay. Generally, the BE status was part of the competitive bidding process, and therefore the companies appointed do have a compliance in respect of the criteria required in respect of the if they have. And I think we need to also recall that process, because of the bigger nature of this project, it was SWISASA had decided to appoint an independent administration, which was Ernst & Young, to run the entire bidding process and ensure that there is all the compliances that were required. So there was quite a due consideration of those requirements, and the companies appointed some, or largely they complied with the requirements. But as I indicated, we will submit the full status in terms of the percentages and the levels thereof.
Shall I hand over to you, Co-Chair, on the second round for members?
Thank you very much, Chair. This is round two and the last round today. Members will ask two questions, except those who didn't ask questions on the first round. So I'll start by Honorable Van Damme, Honorable Mehenze, Honorable McKenzie, Honorable Shin, Honorable Teddy, Honorable Tsotesi, Honorable Moshoba, in that order. If you are not sure that you have a question now, very sorry, you want to ask the question. Develop a question now so that you can ask it. Thank you very much. In that order, Honorable Van Damme.
Thank you, Jefferson. Minister, you mentioned that you've approached the Constitutional Court on the basis of the said doctrine of separation of powers. You can only approach the Constitutional Court when there's a constitutional issue that needs ventilation. So on what basis have you approached, what are you hoping that the Constitutional Court will rule on the issue of separation of powers? What is the relief that you're seeking on the issue of separation of powers? I think that's particularly important because if the Constitutional Court makes a decision on the issue of separation of powers, it won't only apply to Department of Communications, it will apply to government in general. So what relief are you hoping to get in that regard in general? And then, what's the progress of the case? Have you got a date yet? Is the Constitutional Court going to grant you access? And then, how much has been spent on this particular litigation and thus far? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So that was a very quick, impressive answer. You got all your numbers down to the cents. Just in terms of the 650 allocated for the installation and the installers, one imagines that following the rollout of this process this year, there'll be whole teams of people countrywide that have the skills to put up aerials and boxes, dishes, and install boxes, and they have lots of time on their hands. So obviously you're going to get attrition in these workers over time once the project is completed. In terms of the cost, that 650, is there a warranty on the installation that they provide to the people they've installed boxes for? And is there a warranty on the box itself? And thank you, Ms. Barnes, for the 100 rand figure you quoted for box replacement. How long is that warranty, and have you factored those costs in going forward? Thank you.
Thank you. Another question?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, my question is, Minister, the waiving of the TV license requirement needs you to issue or to gazette a regulation waiving it. When are you going to do that? Because this cannot be a decision of the SABC board or your SASA board. You have to regulate it. So please can you let us know when that will be? Then on the companies that are manufacturing set-top boxes, two of these companies have absolutely, as far as we can gather, no manufacturing capability at all. Alira Sedima is an online marketing company that develops websites. Now, how do they qualify for this procurement? And also, Boer Africa doesn't have any manufacturing requirements either. So who's manufacturing for them? And why did they get the boxes? Because if this strategy was basically to stimulate in new entrants into the electronic manufacturing sector, this program certainly hasn't done that, because EZ Electronics already has capability to produce boxes for MultiChoice and whoever else in the world wants them. So you know, this isn't helping them get started. So there is absolutely no indication from the procurement process that this program is stimulating black entrants. Any young black company that's out there in the sector has got them without the set-top box process. So, you know, what is the purpose of this? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Teddy.
When this this very interesting project like the one that we are dealing with, there will obviously be those who will want to abuse or take an advantage and come up with some irregular activities, like in the area of manufacturing of set-top boxes, and also in the area of isolation, of people claiming to be legally appointed scholars and the like. My question is, what mitigation plans do we have to deal with the particular eventuality if it happens?
Thank you. Honorable Sotete.
Thank you, Chair. Is it advisable to increase, you know, the pace to campaign, that is public awareness for registration, when you talk about the unavailability of SGBs on the term market, or maybe to slow down a little bit on campaigns when focus on ensuring that those who have registered already, they do receive the SGBs. And I think the department is considerate of, you know, some opportunistic, you know, tendencies of franking. I think you are dealing with it. And coming to the training and installing of the gadgets SPVs, we are really impressed by this because it creates employment. But at some point in a particular province, the project will have to come to an end. What happens now with the skills that are already available? What happens to these young people? Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Matsoba, followed by Honorable Trasha.
I'm covered with some of the questions from my colleague, but mine is a clarity for Trasha. I want to know exactly this independent you were appointed. What is the guidelines you're using to appoint them? We want to know exactly what is that in it. Lastly, Chair, thank you, Minister, for your brief monitoring. As a minister, you are in a decisively correct line. You are not in a peer. We are not questions direct to you. Your question, your explanation is very clear. I just need just clarity from Chancellor. What exactly is this internet you are pointing?
Thank you. Honorable Duffin.
Thank you, Chair. If I'm permitted to ask a question relating to the unpresented slide, there's an additional slide, I think it's the last one, that indicates SAPO and RPA footprint. I just wanted to know, the blue is post office, right? And then the red is the agencies. Who are these agencies? And then in the Northern Cape, it's mostly agencies. Why is that so? And who are these agencies that are covering those areas? Thanks.
Those are the questions I tried to, before the chair, I tried to communicate quietly with other members. If they want to ask questions, they said they are okay. So I'll hand over to the chair to ask a question or comment, and then we get the responses after that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Coach. And I think let me first start by reflecting the importance of the project. That it's definitely one of the critical for those of us who are in telecom to understand the impact, because the spectrum is highly needed. So this project has to move. I'm saying this because, Minister, currently there's nail pace. We have to get all these other things getting out of the way so that the project can move and we can see progress on it, so that it has, we can see the growth and the investment in the telecom side, because it's currently stifling the investment of telecoms. That's the first thing I need to raise. The second issue is, and I noted your colleague asked about the investigation and the assurance we have received, Minister, around the issue of USASA. We received a presentation, the last joint one, I think it was on 15th of September, almost similar day, we are 1 year, of 2015. Quite a number of assurances were given as this portfolio committee and portfolio committees. And so where I'm sitting, or chairperson and CEO, I'm not interested in the changes that has happened to us. The responsibility for you to go and look what has been committed to this committee, what has been said to this committee. Because if there are changes, you need to take accountability and explain fully to us why have you changed from that. That's where we stand. You see one government that accounts to parliament. You see an entity that we give appropriation that must account. In the last meeting, we raised our concern around the rollovers. But are not sustainable. The impact on the delay on this project has consequences to everybody else, post office and everyone else. The money we're spending on storage capacity is unnecessary for post office. Post office is not in business of storage. Is in business of delivery. Whatever is produced, so you saw signs of your management of this project, I think you have found one thing, I must say. Firstly, in terms of the deliverables, one, you are not saying to us why the contractors that have, or the manufacturers, or the companies that we have appointed, what have failed to deliver and what have you done. You have not said that to us. We look at a slide that speaks about the targets and this is what has been delivered. One of the members raised it. You are saying to us why it has not been met. And after not being met in that, what have you done? That's something your management of this project is found wanting where I'm sitting. Now, the second issue is that the impact of that delay is post office. You are sending things to post office. This is a cost that was never in the project. Of storage, never. I'm not so sure how USASA is intending to spend on that, because we do not have, or we never approved the storage funds as Parliament. On your appropriation, when you requested the budget, when was the request of saying this is what you're going to spend. Now, I sympathize with McBanks and the team. They're trying to do, but it's not their business. The intention was that once the delivery is done, post office takes people register, you can expect to store a minimum. I know the activity you were showing us. I'm not impressed with that slide of many boxes sitting in that post office. That's not what should happen. With the difficulties post office, you are adding the burden, your burdens to what post office has. Now, that's where I have a concern, colleagues. Then we come to the issue of the stoppage and the impact. Because when the case was in court, you were filed as respondents, board member. You opted not to respond, if I'm correct. What was the intention of legal advisors when you had an opportunity to go to court and state your case? Is this not a wasteful expenditure? You had an opportunity to state this in court as a respondent. You opted not to use that. After you go, and not one, two legal opinions, these legal fees are coming out of public funds. Now, we've got to be clear, colleagues, what we are doing. We can't talk about a project that has constraints in budget. And we do not act like a project that is a constraint. If we are operating a project that has conflicting budget, we must conduct ourselves to show. Because where I'm sitting, why should we motivate for more budget to quota if there is some wastage that happens? Why should we? One, we're failing to spend what we are given, firstly. Because, Minister, the rollover is going to happen for 2017, coming to the new budget, and I still have the rollover. Now, we can't sit and start saying, no, we're looking at rollover or extension of the budget. And I sympathize with the coalition incentive, because they pay the brunt of having been efficient in their work and delivering at a time they were expected to. Now, we are carrying the burden of everybody off, like sitting in the process. That's why I'm making this to say, for me, one, that implementation of the investigation minister would, I think, would find time. Would need to engage and see. I think we'll follow it up from Telecoms, because the implementing entity would have to be Telecoms department to understand what is being done, because we should never tolerate any wrongdoing. If there's anyone who's been caught, and I'm happy your stance, what you're saying, then we'll follow it up. If there's any corrupt activities, if there's anything wrong to him, would want to know what has happened, there must be consequences. We always emphasize consequence management. But equally, that's why I'm asking about consequences for even our service providers who are not delivering. It can't be on my own. Where people don't do, we continue as if nothing happens. So, there are things that we were told as this committee. First, we're told that in a process, Sasa, you had an audit firm that was auditing your process, that was ensuring that everything is correct. Now, what happened to that? Where is the audit firm? Why did we find this mistake? Why did we find this mistake? Lastly, when the new board was appointed, board chairperson Ntlawe was here telling us that some board members were given the responsibility to move and oversee the project. Now, our understanding is that this project is overseen at high level of board. That was what I think we would have to go back in the minutes and look at what is it. He specifically said there's a board member given a responsibility to ensure that things are in place for this project. Now, if we find this thing from the level of the board, it's a problem. For me, it's a serious, serious problem. That we really have to... So, what I would say, DBG, you did not respond, you did not present on your steering committee functioning. Because the last time you had to ask the technical steering committee, that is comprising of everybody that looks at this. Because who will hold you as well accountable? Because that steering committee that you chair are some of the things that it must look at and fix. It can be that we at this level will come and ask this question. These are the things that should have been asked and sorted out. You should be telling us, we pick up this, then deliver mitigating factors as response. Now, when we interact and chair, I agree with you that we're going to have a cost, maybe regularly, so that until we are comfortable that the project is on track the way it should be and things are happening the way it should be. Would request that update of the project steering team, because all this work needs to be done. It can't be that we wait and things just fall. And we are not here about the budgets, when we get in, what is it? We have to be clear. If Treasury is saying it's funding us, we need that response. If it's not, we need clarity. Because the issue is, if we have the weaknesses, now it must be clear that, or if we have the gaps in terms of funding, it must be clear whether Treasury is willing to come on board or not. So that if not, do we have alternative mechanism of funding this project? Because that's what we must start looking at. We shouldn't wait until what we have is depleted. And then halfway the project, somebody has got a set of posts, another one has not got, the neighbor doesn't have, and then we say it's run out of money. We'll have people revolting against this government. So we need to sort those things out. And I think these are the expectations from our side. When we say progress, these are the progress we expect. We can't have progress that some of the things are still stagnant 1 year down the line. So for me, those are the issues that I'm not happy about. Thanks, Coach Chairperson.
Thank you very much. That's a lot of information you've given us. I think it helps. Now I'll hand over to you, Minister, so that you can delegate to all these people who are supposed to respond to questions.
And for the sake of time, I would also like to remind them that they have to sponsor. I think it's better you have to start on the issues that the members have raised. There's a lot of issues that the members have raised. I'll come in terms of that thing.
Thank you, Minister and Chairperson. I note and appreciate what Chairperson has said, that Adam's few days or few months in the seat is not an excuse. I accept that and I accept the responsibility. I'll start just on the question that I think the Chair and Honorable Machoba is speaking to, that I start on the assurances that were made. Indeed, the audit firm was appointed, which is Ernst & Young, that administered the entire project. And indeed, it did ensure that the assurances that were required were provided. We yet to engage on the other report from DOC. But what we have done, as I joined beginning of June, was to work with Auditor General and ensure that we provide all the information in respect of the project to the audit process of AG. And the AG report will be tabled to yourselves in due course. We've already submitted to the Minister and the National Treasury. And you will see that to what extent there were challenges and the nature and the degree of those challenges. At this point in time, I can indicate that yes, the findings could speak to some of non-compliances, but there's also the obvious after the AG work, the audit action plan that we are developing that will then deal with how do we mitigate, and I think Honorable Teddy was also speaking to that, how do we mitigate and show consequence management to the extent that there were wrong challenges. So there is that process, and we are adhering to that process. We will be dealing that audit action plan to the board and discuss with the board and take it forward. Indeed, the board has direct oversight. In just a few days of the day, we have been working very closely with the board, including with the DOC Minister. I'm hoping that you were getting feedback. Even before the board meeting, we did consult with the DOC, including to say we want to, when you instructed us to continue the production, we sought the legal opinion that the DOC had, which didn't come before the board meeting, but it came long after, and that is the discussion that we are having now between ourselves to say how do we compare notes in respect of the legal position around what we do going forward post the SAA. My leader here will speak to the decisions taken by the board in respect of not responding to the court at the time. But for now, the three opinions, the one she's referring to, they took the opinion and thought at the initial stage of the process when there was again the question of how do we manage the balance between the court orders versus the responsibilities we have in terms of PFMA. The one that we took now recently after the communication from the DOC was to try and see to what extent do we comply with FMA and the instruction within the confines of our responsibilities and the fiduciary responsibilities in terms of the Companies Act. That was the consideration, and that's why we had to seek a legal opinion to assist us to come to a position that is defendable in law that will enable us to account ourselves responsibly, because there are implications in terms of that requires of us to act responsibly and be able to account ourselves. Therefore, I can assure members that there will be consequence management to the extent that there are challenges, and we are dealing with those now, having regards to the AG report. The other report that the Minister is referring to, we are engaging with the Acting DG and the Acting DG of the CS to see where the set meeting, after last week they gave us the report, the set meeting to discuss the outcomes of that report and how they take that forward. Regarding the companies, Honorable Chairperson, there is a contract management, and we are managing their deliverables in terms of the contract management policies that we have. We are in direct engagement with them. As you can see from that slide, generally there's been a movement. There is few of the companies that have not moved. To the other part of your question in respect of the delays to this project, you can see from that information that the delays are not necessarily as a result of this matter. I think the colleagues that the FNG spoke to of the take-up, they had a huge implication on the entire value chain. So if you look at the ecosystem, there is defendables, and we need that take-up so that there could be registrations, installations, and then there is not going to be warehouse problems and challenges there. So if there are defendables in the value chain, and hence we support that the investment into the public awareness and therefore the potential increase in take-up that we are seeing already from the interventions that the department has embarked on. Regarding the question of the guidelines of appointing the auditor, we followed the SEM guidelines to appoint the auditor. I think the motivation from the board was that we needed to ensure that all T's are crossed, I's are dotted, and that was the motivation for appointing a firm to oversee the bidding process. And the report or the outcomes is what we have now, and the report that was provided in the evidence. And you will see in AG report to what extent that helped us, because I don't want to preempt the report, but you will see in that report when we present it that that did have some benefits to the organization. And we should help in the process, and that's why we can present to you the report that shows that good work has happened. There are challenges, but good work has happened. The bigger challenge of the suspension, the court order, it's as the minister said, it is just one of the challenges. But it has not stopped the work that is already happening in respect of the deliverables that are already on the ground. And I would ask Makhodo to speak to the two other matters, which is in respect of the Honorable McKinsey, the warranties, and Honorable Sheen, in terms of the capacity of the two other companies that you mentioned.
Thank you, Phil. Mackenzie, with respect to your question around warranties, there is a two-year warranty on the actual boxes, and then there is a one-year warranty on the installation. And on the issue of capacity on the motion, you were referring to Zahadima and Poor Africa. They are some of the smaller service providers or manufacturers, and the whole intent of them and a plethora of others that are on the panel was that they can get into the sector.
they were allocated on the basis that they had gone through FABS compliance by the time it was time to establish the orders. Thank you.
Another one is about the storage, but there was no allocation for storage for post office. That question is not yet responded to.
On the NS of storage, yes, in the beginning it was not. SAHO had worked on numbers, that this is the throughput that the SAHO CEO was talking about. However, as a consequence of the slow uptake, there is an issue of storage that we have had to renegotiate with SAHO. Yes.
Who is carrying the cost?
We are currently carrying the cost, yes.
When you respond to questions, just respond so that we are all clear.
I must then come in on the issue of the suspension of placing orders. I think maybe what is not coming clear here is what we have done is to not proceed to place orders on DPC.
Oh, Fakali, just the mic must be closer to your mouth.
Okay. So let me then repeat myself, Jackson. What the board has done, we did not stop the project. What we did was say, in light of the court challenge, we must then not continue to place orders. And this is simple based on the fact that we cannot preempt what the constitutional court is going to say. And to then go back a bit, the challenge by ETV is this. ETV is saying the minister, the honorable minister, in making the policy, there was no consultation, but which clause of the policy is being challenged? It's a clause that says that DPT set-top boxes will not have encryption capabilities. So when we placed orders to do the manufacturing of these DPT set-top boxes, even though it was not specified that they must be capable of encryption or not, the fact of the matter is, when the decision of the, was it the High Court? Yes, yeah. When the High Court decision came out, the instruction then to the manufacturers was that they must manufacture set-top boxes that are not capable of encryption. And currently, the set-top boxes that we have are not capable of encryption. So what that means is, if ETV, because remember, ETV can lose or ETV can succeed at the constitutional court. So what will then happen is, if assuming that ETV succeed, it will mean the orders that we have placed of all these sets of boxes, it will be wasteful expenditure. So we moved from a point, this is the point of governance, because we have a duty as the board to foresee the risk and act with prudence to minimize the risk. And if we do not do that, then we'll be failing in our responsibilities. But then coming to the legal point now, the opinion that we got was, when a decision is being appealed against, what that does is to suspend the operationalization of that decision. And it's contained in the Superior Court Act. That is what happens so automatically. So we might not be interdicted from manufacturing set-top boxes. As in actual fact, that the court will then make a pronouncement and say that you are therefore not supposed to proceed and manufacture the set-top boxes. But the Act has that provision. That is just what will happen. So we do not want, at the end of the day, to be seen as a board that is not only exercising their fiduciary responsibility, but to be seen as a board that is also not complying with court orders. Because then it becomes a court order, because it's there in the Superior Court rules to say that the decision that is appealed against, it is suspended. You cannot operationalize it. So that is where we are at. And like the CEO has said, we are of the view that the suspension, it cannot be blamed for the pace at which the project has been gone. This is due to the fact that the numbers speak for themselves, what we have manufactured, what has been manufactured so far. And that is why we now have an issue of storage, which was never budgeted for initially, because the intention was, as this is manufactured, it will be at the post office, people will come in, and after registration, and if they are deemed to qualify, they will then be issued with a set of boxes. It is at that end, and it's not a process, that is the responsibility of ISASA. And that is where we are, and thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you. The chair wants to make a comment.
They have not explained why they didn't respond to the court when they were given a notice. On the issue of not responding to the court, when we came in, that decision was already taken by the previous board. We asked these questions. Why, when you were cited, because the person that was there from the previous board is the chairperson who has since left, Mrs. Harding. We then asked, why did you not contest? And the view, or what was relayed to us, is that they were advised that they should not contest. This is what we were told. It was not the decision of this board not to contest. And as such, we have taken a resolution as this current board that with regard to this constitutional court matter, we will be participating so that then our position can also be publicly stated. And so that when the courts make a decision, they will also take into account as where USASA is the implementing agency, fits in.
Let me deal with this matter so that we dispose it so that we go to the other issues raised by the chair, by the other committee members. Chair, as you rightfully said, to say, this project on my part started in 2001. I think at that time I was still at university. But I take full responsibility because I understand I'm the successor in title of this. And so when we handed over the project in February last year, we started the ball rolling because we understood the position of it having not been rolled out throughout. I'm raising this point in question, Chair, because it needs to be addressed here, because with regard to the response, there were times where in the steering committee, the team will tell you, your answer was not an active participant. The DG will say to that, if you are seated with issues that we raised here, some of them, they remain unattended. And these are the issues that I raised with the incumbent chairperson of the board to say, we seem not to be having the support from the board in implementing this project, the issue that I also raised with the Minister of Telecom. And I must say this up front, Chair, to say, now you suffer seem not to understand the mandate them being the implementing agent of this matter. It's the matter that I also need to take further with them. And it seems to be so preoccupied with the policy making process. Because I say this based on the fact that in 2015, when this High Court judgment was with regard to the High Court. Before that, prior to that, I must say this, even prior to the court judgment, you know what USASA did? USASA issued tenders for encrypted boxes, also for non-encrypted boxes, and then asked to say what informed that. They said, no, whichever way the policy will project, these are the things that I want to raise and the trends that have been in. And then with our current experience with the current board, which has finished, raise with them simply to say that they don't have power to the police. And then I've raised it to them, that's rest with us as government in this particular moment. To say also, what's different with the current body now? They do their own things without engaging us. Until our latest meeting that we have that we raise here to say, it can't be. Because at the department, if they account to Minister of Telecom, the issues that I've raised with him as well to say, that they are implementing agents for this ministry. That's what they need to do to say. We have to provide direction on the matter. And then I'm raising it also based to respond to the issue that Honorable Van Damme has raised. You know, on how much you've spent
will report it in the annual report. It's a reportable matter. And then if you think you arrive late, because we have also mentioned the date that the meter is going to be held on the 17th of February 2017. And then the rationale for our appeal on this matter, we are challenging the decision of the ruling that challenges the power of the executive to decide on how it spends the money in terms of the separation of powers. So there's precedence to that effect to say also, as the executive, I think we have got the power to decide how we spend money, especially the ones that come from the fiscal. Because the argument here, without dealing into the merits, is that as government, there's no way that we will subsidize private businesses to pursue their private business interests. We're not going to do that because ours, as you see the policy is not meant to, because it's not meant to subsidize private business. We have, ours is to subsidize the poor people to have access. That has never happened in the country. But moreover, this matter is subject to care and is not up to the debate until the court make a ruling to that effect. And then I'm glad that now you will be a participant in the issue that we have requested in the past to say, why are you not participating? But now, then these other issues to say, then they seek legal advice. Because from the beginning, they could have been an active participant in this matter. So that's the issue that I'm trying to reach. And then on the issue of the report from Treasury, I think this is the matter that I've indicated earlier. We're going to give you information on a recommendation. I'll share with you the content of the report. It's public knowledge, that is it to say. But I think I want to add that we need to treat this matter, the issue of the use of budget, with the sensitivity it deserves. Because the reality, because you are raising the issue of the cost that I'm trying to bring it here, is that you suffer an interest paid above the market rate of the social profits. That's the reality, unfortunately, which means that now this issue cannot just be treated, but also I think it's very important for you to know that there's a distance between the number of purchase order units which have been manufactured and the installation completed. You have seen that in the report, and somebody was raising it. And this also can also demonstrate the incapability, resources and skills of some of the manufacturers that have been appointed. That's the issue. And then, you remember it's a department because they suffer by implementing agents. We operate through the PMO and we want them to be suffered to account. Especially when it comes to the issue of manufacturers that have not been able to deliver. I visited the times where I visited these supplier manufacturers because I was worried when the project was. We had registered people and the boxes were not coming. And then in terms of the tender document that were given to us, you'll be told this company is residing in residence. You go there to that residence and you don't find the company there. Actually, later on, after when we were raising consent to give them project, say that it can't be that there's a service provider who don't even have an ID. We go to the address that was provided when they're there. But without dealing much with this, these are the issues that we have to deal with also. There was a delay in the manufacturer, and that was caused by the agency. This was not any other because boxes could not be delivered based on the fact that there were companies who also cannot deliver at the time. Otherwise, we could have moved. That's the issue that we're trying to raise on this matter. And then maybe let's just come to the next item that has been raised here. Did you deal with the issue of the net that was raised by Honorable Trahan, the agents that they can deal with the item?
Through you, Minister, can I ask through you, Minister, the FAPO CEO to respond to that, the RAD and the Blueprint?
Thank you, Chair, Minister. The agencies are different from actual post offices in that they are set up in places where the courage is less than one in 10,000 people for that area. So they're beyond the USO obligation for us to have representation. They are typically members of the community who have other businesses there, like small shops or delis or whatever. they differ from branches in that they don't provide any online services. They're just essentially for the delivery of mail and the receipt of mail, and we pay small commissions to the people who do that on our behalf. And we go through a rigorous process of the appointment. So that's the difference between an agency and a post office. And may I make the suggestion, if I may, Chair, that we leave the map up in Parliament permanently, if not make a stamp of it, so that we can demonstrate to government how well represented we are in the rural communities. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, there was a question raised by Honourable Sheen on the issue of the guarantee. Yes, I think we have dealt with that process because we know, like I've indicated, that we are in the process. There was just a panel meeting, there's a draft one that I was going to approve, and then I think we need to acknowledge the delay on this matter because it was also, it contributed to this impact that we have in. But then also there was this issue that people were made to believe in the communities. We pick it up as we do awareness to say, STB, the distribution registration is used to catch them for non-payment. The areas when you ask people to register, they will run away to say, oh, you bring these things because you want now to catch us at defaulters. So that one, we know it has to be updated, and we work on that so that it's in line with what the law is.
I think all questions are responded to. Honorable Van Dam is not happy with the response. Honorable Shin is not happy with the response. And then a new question from Honorable Van Dijk and McKenzie. Members, the follow-ups questions, not very many, Honorable Shin. Looking at the time. Okay.
Jefferson, saying as a response in Parliament that it's in the annual report is not an answer. What's the point of accounting to Parliament at all? What's the point of all of this when departments can come here and say it's in the annual report? So they can always give that answer when we ask questions. I've asked a simple question. And to be honest, Minister, you always are refusing to account on financial expenditure in your department or entities. In parliamentary questions, you say it's in the annual report. So it's not a good enough answer. We've asked a simple question, which the Minister should have an answer to. The annual report will come out. We'll have a look at the annual report when it comes out. Right now, how much has been spent on the court case? Should we have a figure?
Honourable
Van Dijk. Sorry, I missed the answer of the Minister on the when the consultation with Cabinet will happen around the date of the analog switch off will happen.
Got it. Honourable Shin.
Thank you. Yeah, I challenge the response on the smaller companies that won the tender. Because, I mean, I don't see how an online marketing company that makes websites actually gets an SABS qualification to make set-top boxes. Can you please explain, you know, how that happens? And, yeah, so that's just basically that one. I mean, we obviously then also wait for the report. And then it's an additional question, Chair, sorry. This on slide 14, we have a whole chart here of which company has supplied what and when and what they've been paid. Can I have some idea of when the date of this is? When was the cut-off date here? Is this as at the end of August? And if so, can I just understand when exactly, because I think it was in December, that ISASA stopped the manufacturing process because of your legal advice. When all these boxes were actually delivered to Sava. If I can have those dates, please.
And thank you, Chairman. Just to go back to the warranty. Who carries the cost of that three-year warranty and a one-year installation warranty? For example, on the installation warranty, is the person who did the installation responsible for that? And if that is the case, how will you know to hold them, or how can you hold them accountable and make sure that they don't disappear? If they do disappear, who will then pick up that installation warranty? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm really worried to always coming in this committee behave like wild animals. The minister always answering the question. I don't know what's going on to the honorable.
Who's a wild animal here?
I have a right to talk, comment. I'm sorry, Chairperson.
Can you switch off here?
Let's address each other in that manner. We're a committee, we're members. Don't remind me, Honorable Machora, of the communications meeting last time. And when I was listening carefully to the clip on SABC, it was very bad for the chairperson, who was projected as not protecting the members. The clip was just on what was said, but not what I said. That is why I'm interviewing now, because that experience is a very bad one for me. Let's address each other properly. Raise your points, but raise them in a manner that doesn't raise issues among members. Over to you, Honorable Machova. I think we're done now with questions. There will be responses, and then I'll allow the chair to round it up, and then we'll proceed after that. Thanks. Another minister?
Honorable Sandam, I think the PSMA, if you read it properly, prescribes that table annual report and financial audited financial statements before 30th September. And which I want to tell you have since done that. So I think that report, that report is available and you know you can grab that thing and read it for yourself. But then we'll be able to report also to this matter is still ongoing. On that report, you see that we reported on the cost that we have incurred as far. Then, but for your sake, I can also, after this meeting, write to you and tell you exactly how much it is. But the report is there, Honorable Van Den. It's available. You can read. So I've never used not to account to Parliament, but on issues that are there, that are legislated, you just need to go and read them. Then, other issue on the consultation with cabinet. We said we'll be happy on the uptake. I think for now the target that we set ourselves as government is 80%. When everybody has migrated 80%, that's when we are going to consult cabinet that is time now to switch off. But what I want to say now, like the KMOS area, SK area, we are going to switch off, but the actual switch off for the country is when we are hit. It's when matters like this court cases have been resolved, when we have implemented what Treasury has found in terms of the investigation, that will also determine our way forward. On that one, when we are happy and satisfied that we will reach 8% and we'll be able to switch off. I think the other questions on the service provider, you sound like best place to deal with. Also, the question raised by Honorable McKenzie, the agencies should be able to respond to the other two questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister Sio.
Thank you, Chair. just to allay this fear, Minister, we will implement any policy, any instruction given, policy directive given. And we commit to that. The question, Honorable Shin, about Le Ratadima, That is not our information, and I understand that our team has even been to their factory in Cape Town, so that is not our information, but I am also, as newborn, I am going into this company to see whether they really have factories for my own information. But in respect to your question, the information we have is different to the one you have. But to the extent that we need to prove that, perhaps we can submit to the committee a proof of that factory in our next hearing. The other question, Honorable McKinley, I'll ask Makhonsa to speak to on the warranty. Who can the cost of warranty?
On both the installation and the boxes themselves, the warranties, the cost of the warranty are charged by the appointed companies, so they're part of the contractual terms of that. On the installation particularly, the reason we went for companies was so that we have entities that we can hold responsible for that, as opposed to if we did individual, where it would be much more difficult to manage that.
I think questions covered for this. To your satisfaction, boss? Another question? Not satisfied.
The chair, I asked particularly about the dates applicable to slide 14. When, at what date are those figures drawn up? You know, was that at the end of August or was it at the end of July? And also when the boxes were delivered to the actual date. Once the boxes were delivered to SAPO, please.
On the easy questions are answered by me. That's by the 31st of August. Thank you.
Is that all, Honorable Shin?
Of course, members of SAPO, I'm basically wanting to know whether these center boxes, the DTT set-top boxes, whether they were delivered, have been delivered over the past 6 months, or was delivery stopped in February? When were these, particularly the CZ Electronics and Lyra Steamer, when they were delivered?
That's the question. After this, the chair will run them. Did you give me any question? Are you able to respond? Sapo? Is it Sapo?
Chair Minister, we've been receiving the buses continuously as they've been manufactured up to now. As I understand, the picture at the end of August, and these are just boxes which we've been receiving. My understanding was that they had to be delivered from the manufacturers at some point in time in terms of their contract. So as and when that fell due, which wasn't aligned with when they were required by the ultimate end users, there needs to be a middle space for them, and we fulfilled that role. So as and when they were produced, we understand they were delivered to us.
Thank you very much. I'll hand over to the chair. I think answers, responses, all of them, to the satisfaction of all of us. The chair will round up. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair. I think the meeting is very, very clear that it was quite an important meeting for us to have. This is one of the critical projects. Though one needs to conclude by then, they are still that, and I think there is a need for several meetings, even before ourselves. I think I'm going to appeal to the Minister and acting DG of Telecoms is here. There's clearly a need for DTPS, DOC, and USASA to meet to clear out some of these things that are coming up here. There's that need, and I hope this meeting would happen urgently so that there are no. We are worried from the side of Telecom's Portfolio Committee in terms of the effect on other entities, and even because the budget that is in USASA, if it keeps on rolling, this becomes an undeliverable or unperformance of USASA in terms of the performance plan and the use of fund spending. That's another issue. So it's very important because there are quite a number of other things that we should focus on. So this needs to be cleared up. The issues need to be sorted out there seem to be some issues that are still here. And I think it goes as well to the acting DG of DOC for the technical team to meet and do their work. That's very important. That lots of technical issues must be cleared at that level. Starting from every cent of the accounting, every cent allocated, how it's going to be spent, what we are going to do. So that even the advice that you give, it's going to assist. In terms of, because for us this project, as I said earlier on, is very, very critical, quality. It has to move. I know Mr. Pans is looking for this income. He has already put aside projects for this income. So it has to come. This money must come to post office. So that post office is part of what they have allocated, they've already said this is the money we are expecting, so the money must come, I'm creating it. But secondly, the dual illumination that is impacting negatively on Fintech. Because the current situation, if it goes, such as it's one of our best performing entities, we're going to end up with it as a going concern if we don't resolve this matter financially. Now you're going to take a good company performing and then you're going to sell it down. So for us, it's a very serious concern. But again, I think one of the things that is important for here, for this work, even for the guys, I mean, I've seen on TV, I don't know about the private providers, if they are doing work, they've not been communicating very well. But I've seen with SABC in pushing for local content, local producers work. I mean, those guys are sitting already hoping that something will be coming very soon. Now, with expectations that have been raised, people are hopeful to start generating incomes, doing something. It's something that is weak. It's something that we need to get to. The other issue is the spectrum issue, that the telecoms are highly looking after. ICASA is ready to want to issue, the minister is willing to want to issue. So this spectrum needs to be freed so that we can see the stimulation of our economy closing the transformational, achieving the transformational issues. I think CEO of USAS is going to have to come back on the issue. I think we'll deal with your annual report in a few weeks to come on the issues of transformational matters around this project. And I noted that they were not really clearly addressed. So we need those details when we deal with that. How are we hoping to deal with, how are we achieving those things with this project? So we need to have, we wanted this meeting because most of the time, Minister, we get to ask to say, no, we are waiting for the side. So we wanted from our side because it becomes difficult for accounting, for asking questions when you ask questions, it's no, the project is driven from the side. Now, this is an opportunity for us to be updated of what that is, that we can be able to hold out the entities that was to us to accountable. So I thought these are just some of the issues that we need to look at and we need to follow up. There are many people who are really, really looking forward to this. But even the delays, and I think what we must comment is the initiative, Minister, of dealing with the issue of the borders. I think that was very critical. I know that at some point we were lucky the flight never arrived eventually. But we found, Sante was found to have contravened some law with Botswana in trouble and all that. Now, we didn't want to see that situation repeating itself with the spillage over. Now, for us, I think, echoing the sentiments of the colleagues, even the pronouncement minister of the deadline, maybe once you pronounce the colleagues, we start knowing that we have a deadline to meet. They are just lagging, say, about the deadline. So far, as planning the deadline so that it can start moving. Minister, then they'll start chasing that deadline because we will hold them out to that deadline. So I think that's very important. I think it's important, thank you very much, members, for the interaction, for this update as one of the critical projects. I think that's it from my side. I don't know if you still have anything. Otherwise, the meeting is adjourned, Coach. Thank you very much. Thank you.